Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local scene in Georgia and around the Southeast region, as well as interviews with the newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Welcome to another special Tuesday night edition of Georgia Wrestling Now. Danny, go ahead and get the Tuesday night introduction out of your system.
Yay, special Tuesday!
We have a founder.
That was the human hand grenade, Danny Only. I am Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com, and we also have Team All You Can Eat's Matt Hankins, and we have a lot to talk about, I would venture to guess, based on the amount of wrestling that's gone on since our last show. But I will start off with the day after our last show was the Wrestling with Pop Culture anniversary party, which I would say was a success. Matt, what did you think of the show?
I was absolutely surprised. It was a great turnout and just so much going on, you couldn't take it all in. I would hope you call it a success.
Well, I'm glad I wasn't the only one that felt that way, because I was trying to take it in and deal with, you know, ticket stuff and things I'd never dealt with before. So it was definitely a learning experience for me, but I did get to catch some incredible monster wrestling action that started with a redneck werewolf from Alabama taking on a gay vampire, and ended up with Chip Day taking on the Zombie King and his zombies. And it was funny. I saw Chip Day post on Facebook over the weekend at some point. Well, I guess he posted it before I saw it, obviously before I saw it a few days earlier, but he said something to the effect of, last night I was wrestling the Zombie King and tonight I'm in Miami, or something about going down there. And I guess he was part of maybe Ring of Honor or Dragon Gate in some capacity, but it was just funny to see someone else that was also involved with that.
had
similar feelings, because I was in the same boat. I got up the next morning and flew down to Miami, and 24 hours after I was watching Monsters Wrestle and rock and roll bands perform, I was at a mansion on Star Island in Miami on the red carpet and interviewing Triple H and Cody Rhodes and Big Show and all kinds of people, and bidding on artwork, which I found out today I won a piece by Dolph Ziggler's brother, who is in FCW, but apparently he's also an artist, and he did a drawing of Santino Marella as Kramer from Seinfeld.
That sounds money. So, that sounds like we'll win anything. I'm glad it's that.
Yeah, he had three pieces. The other two were, another one was a drawing of Dolph Ziggler's face, like a headshot thing, and then the other one was a drawing of Vladimir Kozlov. But Santino as Kramer was the one that caught my eye. But anyway, so yeah, I was down in Miami, and I wanted to make it to some of the indie shows like NWA Ring Warriors and Ring of Honor and Dragon Gate, but there was just so much going on with the WWE stuff, and that's, you know, who was providing me with passes to everything, that I just stuck with all that. But I did see some good wrestling at WrestleMania Access. They had a lot of FCW matches and a lot of matches with some of the guys from Superstars and NXT and stuff like that. But I got to see Seth Rollins and what is Claudio Castagnoli's name now?
Antonio Cesaro.
Yeah, I got to see him.
Hey, did you see Creed? His face broken.
Who?
Creed. Xavier Woods.
No, I missed that, but, you know, I really wish I had seen it.
Yeah, I guess he's okay now. But he got busted up pretty bad.
No, I missed that one, but I did get to see some good wrestling.
I read a lot of
Do what?
It was a rough week. I read about a lot of injuries that went on down there.
I didn't see any injuries, but I did see some good matches at Access, and the Hall of Fame was a lot of fun. Of course, WrestleMania was a huge spectacle, and then last night's Raw was pretty interesting. But one thing that I want to point out that I don't know if, obviously, you heard some of it on the air, but there was the dark main event after the Brock Lesnar-John Cena thing happened. The crowd down there was crazy, and even before what happened at WrestleMania happened, there were a lot of Daniel Bryan fans down there. I saw him at Access. I saw him all weekend wearing his shirts and just running around saying, yes, 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 and all that. And even at the beginning of WrestleMania, the whole stadium was chanting that. And then that ended up being the first match, which was kind of weird because, it was a big deal that same match was a dark match the year before. And Sheamus and Daniel Bryan thought they were going to be a little higher on the card, and they ended up being the first match for the world title, which I don't know if that's a new tradition because they did that world title match first last year as well. But, of course, we all know how that ended. It was an 18-second brogue kick, and Daniel Bryan lost. But halfway through the next match, which was Kane and Randy Orton, people were still chanting Daniel Bryan's name at WrestleMania. And then the next night on Raw, the crowd was just crazy, and they were chanting his name and chanting yes, yes, yes. And then after the Brock Lesnar-John Cena encounter, the dark match was Randy Orton, Big Show, and Sheamus against Cody Rhodes, Kane, and Daniel Bryan. And again, they were chanting yes, yes, yes the whole time. And whenever anyone on his team were getting offense in, every time they would punch or kick or whatever, they would say yes. And anytime Big Show or Randy Orton or especially Sheamus got any offense, they would say no, no. And it was just really funny. And then even Big Show, who was on the opposing team, was kind of encouraging the crowd to keep chanting. But in the end, Sheamus got another brogue kick in on Daniel Bryan and pinned him. But it looked like Daniel Bryan was about to get his crossface finishing maneuver on Sheamus. But then after that, Daniel Bryan got the microphone and just thanked everyone for being so supportive and said, it sounds like he's going to have a new T-shirt. The fans have given him a reason to make a new T-shirt for him, which I'm assuming will say yes, yes, yes. But I don't know. I just thought it was...
Didn't he call AJ in the ring and ask her what she thought and then just told her to shut up and leave?
Do what?
Didn't he call AJ in the ring and then when she came in, he said, just shut up and leave?
Oh, yeah, and then they cheered for that, too.
Yeah.
But it was just a great thing you don't see in WWE very often anymore is the fans actually letting them know, like, this isn't cool. We don't like what happened, and this is what we want. We like this guy. And, they were booing Sheamus, which is not really his – well, I mean, to some extent it's his fault. But you know what I'm saying? It's not – you can't blame him for winning the match and wanting to be a world champion. But I don't know. That was my past week in a nutshell, I guess.
Well,
I wonder when
someone has yes shirts now. Yeah.
Do what?
I wonder if people's, their complaint, and also wonder, because it was the opening match at WrestleMania, but I wonder how many people that are bitching about that match ending that quick remember, what, 10, 12 years ago, right after Bob Backlund and Bret Hart went close to an hour, if not an hour, and Backlund took the world title from Bret Hart, the very next night, Kevin Nash beat him in 6 seconds with a kick to the face and took the world title.
Yeah.
It didn't happen at WrestleMania, but that was equally as shitty. So, but it served a purpose, So I wonder how many people remember that. And, people are real quick to just shit on that whole situation, but forget that it's happened before. There's pretty much nothing in wrestling that hasn't happened before. It doesn't necessarily mean it's the right thing, but real quick segue, I didn't watch it last night because it was the first night in 3 weeks that I've been able to go to bed when I wanted to, so I just went to sleep at like 7 o'clock, but I watched it today when I went to work on YouTube, thanks to the internet, and
when Cena was in the ring and that first weird little horn noise that initiates Brock Lesnar's theme hit, dude, I got chill bumps. It was pretty fucking cool. I wish I could have seen it live.
Yeah, that was crazy. I mean, there were rumors that he was in Miami, and I don't know if you heard, you know, the crowd was just crazy. I've never seen a WWE crowd like that. It was like Ring of Honor times 1,000 or something.
Yeah.
Just as far as size. And even at Access, like when Antonio Cesaro came out, which this particular Access session was going on at the exact same time that Ring of Honor was running a show in Fort Lauderdale. But when he came out, a Kings of Wrestling chant broke out. And then when Seth Rollins came out in the next match, a Ring of Honor ROH chant broke out. And it's just like, I don't know. I never knew of Miami to be a huge wrestling town, or especially indie wrestling town, but I don't know what it was. I didn't see that last year when I was at all the WrestleMania stuff in Atlanta. So it was just interesting to see that kind of just awareness, I guess, of that there is something other than WWE. And it was even at the WWE events, people were clearly into that. But, yeah, there were rumors that he was there, so there were a lot of chants that broke out during the show of "We want Lesnar" and stuff like that. And I think it was a great way to divert what happened with Cena and The Rock at WrestleMania, because everyone thought, okay, so now what? The Rock's obviously not going to be around, and so what's Cena going to do? Is he going to turn heel like everyone kind of wants him to do? And or is he, you know, what's going to happen? How do you come back from that? And now there's just this whole other thing for people to think about. And by the time anything between Cena and The Rock ever happens again, if it does, it'll just be kind of like, oh yeah, there's that thing that happened too.
yeah.
But yeah, it was pretty cool. And I loved how, you know, he didn't really say much. He just came out, got in the ring, and F5'd him. And then left.
I mean, he doesn't have to say much. I mean, the weird thing is he's a legit UFC heavyweight champion. So, you know, I think just that alone. And I don't think there's anybody in the WWE universe, like fan-wise, who doesn't know about Brock going to the UFC and winning the heavyweight title. So he doesn't have to say anything. And, you know, somebody posted earlier that it was weird to see him without Paul Heyman, and I kind of agree a little bit, but I don't know if they're going to bring a mouthpiece in for him, or, you know, just let him do his deal and just start beating the hell out of people. But I think it's going to be a real tricky situation because, you know, they have to be real careful how they book this, in my opinion. It's got the potential, like anything, to be really, really good or be really, really bad. So I'm hoping for the prior, because I'd like to see something new.
Since there was so much talk in the Rock Cena build-up, I would hope that it would kind of lend itself to just Brock just be this silent monster that Cena has to somehow come up with a way to overcome. That seems like the way to do it, but, you know, you never know where they're going to go with it. It was weird that as I'm watching Brock walk to the ring, my instant gut reaction was, oh no, there's a mean monster, I'm going to root for Cena. That was just my first guttural reaction, like, oh no, John, you're in trouble. You know, it's like he was instant. It was, you were excited to see him back, but on the flip side, it's kind of like, I don't want to root for this guy. He's just mean.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to remember. I know there's history between the two of them in WWE, but what was the last encounter between Brock Lesnar and Cena?
I have no clue.
Yeah,
I don't either. I don't remember it at all.
What I was kind of hoping would happen, and I seriously doubt this will happen, but with the whole general manager match at WrestleMania, I was hoping that they would, on Raw, that Laurinaitis would be out gloating about being the manager of Raw and SmackDown, and then someone would come out and say, can I have your attention, please? And they would reveal the anonymous Raw general manager, and I was hoping it would be Paul Heyman, and then that he would bring Brock Lesnar out. But, I mean, I guess that could still happen, but I don't think it will.
No, I don't think Paul Heyman would go back.
I thought it was interesting that they alluded to it when Laurinaitis cut the promo saying that, you know, Punk, you've got dark days, dark clouds coming, and I don't mean a thunderstorm. I mean a natural disaster. You know, so everybody's like, does he mean the F5? And so they kind of led you to believe that if he did come back, it was for Punk. But as we saw, it might be for everybody.
No, yeah. It's going to be the earthquake
and typhoon. That was my first thought, but I think both of those guys are dead, right?
You're going to have to put that monstrosity. That's going to have to be a zombie match if that is to happen.
Well, I'll make sure to book it or have Professor Morte book it for the next show. Another interesting thing about the whole Brock Lesnar thing was I got to go to a press conference right before WrestleMania began, and they brought out Cena and Sheamus and Mike Tyson and a bunch of different people. But The Rock was one of the people that came out, and some other journalist asked him, you know, obviously he's got two careers now and he only comes back to wrestle if it's someone special. And, you know, obviously this time it was Cena, and they asked, who else would you come back for? And one of the names that he mentioned was Brock Lesnar. So, again, that was people were wondering if Brock was going to show up at WrestleMania and get involved in that match in some way. And I'm glad that's not what happened, because I think WrestleMania should have clean finishes and, you know, as little controversy as possible and no reason to carry over. I mean, sometimes that's good, but I'm glad it didn't work. It didn't happen that way. I'm glad it happened the way it did. It'll be interesting to see how it proceeds. But I understand I missed quite a bit locally at PCW and Anarchy and elsewhere, but I think we have we haven't even mentioned who our guests are tonight. Our first guest is, well, I'll let Danny Only introduce him since he's the one who got him to call in.
Yeah, our first guest is one half of the now two-time NWA World Tag Champions, a competitor for Dragon Gate USA and a competitor for Evolve. Hands down, the strongest man I've ever been in the ring with, and somebody with a very bright future in front of him, John Davis of the Dark City Fight Club.
Yeah, and I think we have John on the line. Is that you, John?
Yes, sir.
Well, I appreciate you calling in. Danny said you're fat, by the way.
Oh, man, ongoing.
I do it because I'm jealous.
So, John, you had a match at that Battle of the Belts show for NWA Ring Warriors last Thursday, I believe, and then you also were on the Dragon Gate shows down in Fort Lauderdale and Miami. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to make it to any of those while I was down there, but why don't you just let us know how those shows went?
Well, the Ring Warriors show had a lot of really, really good matches on it. Bruce Santee versus Titan for the Ring Warriors Grand Championship. Bruce got that belt. That was a good match. Adam Pearce versus Ring of Honor's Adam Cole, which easily stole the show. They're both ridiculous in the ring. Pierce just keeps getting better, and he keeps talking like he's going to retire, but we'll see how that goes. You know how that goes in wrestling.
Right.
It was us, the Headbangers, and the Red Devil Fight Team. The crowd was good. I thought it was decent. I mean, it was a little incident, but we're not really going to get into that because I don't want to bury anybody. But the end of the day, you know, business was done and everything was good. But overall, really solid show. I missed the Thursday Dragon Gate show as I was in lockdown for Ring Warriors, but Friday, the show was really, really good. It was Loki and Punk, which was insane. He's making a really big impact on the indies now, and especially in the Evolve and Dragon Gate locker rooms. Who else? We had there's me and Sabu teaming against Eric Ken and Pinky Sanchez. That's always fun. I don't know if you guys have ever seen Pinky Sanchez or me wrestle Pinky Sanchez, but I come up with the most innovative ways to throw him every single time we wrestle. Like, I sit around and think of ways that I can just send him away from me at a very high speed.
Dude, Pinky is ridiculous, man. He's insane. I love that dude.
He didn't he didn't have his gear. He somehow made it to Florida and didn't have his gear. So he had these pink champion women's running shorts and black knee pads and these black and white low-cut shiny boots, who I'm pretty sure he used to belong to T.J. Perkins, but it was a very interesting look all weekend.
There's nothing that surprises me about that statement.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, that actually reminds me of, to further prove the point I was making earlier about the awareness of indie wrestling that I saw at the WWE events. At one point, I saw a guy wearing that Sami Callihan shirt that you have, Danny, the barbershop window shirt. And I saw a lot of stuff like that, a lot of Ring of Honor shirts at WWE, and didn't see any Pinky Sanchez shirts, though.
Did you see any?
I don't think he has a shirt.
What were you asking, Danny? Did I see what?
Did you see any Get Better or Get Out shirts?
I didn't. But
shit.
I should have gotten one from you before I went down there so I could wear it. But I was trying to wear a Wrestling with Pop Culture shirts as much as possible. So,
I'll ask the traditional question that we ask. When did you break in? Who trained you? And all the good details on how you got started in wrestling.
I broke in 2003. I was trained by Rock and Roll Chris Turner. I kind of always wanted to wrestle, you know, like every wrestler, like, unless you're signed with the Fed, but you grow up, like, watching it, and it's something that just kind of gets in your blood. I mean, I was a big NWA fan. Like, I didn't watch WWF until I was probably, I don't know, 9, 10 years old. Like, I grew up on NWA and WCW or whatever. And I was doing some arena football tryouts, and this one of the tryouts woke up and Thomas called somebody, gave me, called Chris 2 weeks later, I was in the ring. I trained with him for about a year and a half, 2 years, and then chance meeting Dory Funk Jr. at a Jody Peterman show in McClinney, and introduced myself to him, and Peterman walks up and goes, "Oh, you guys have met, good, you're on semi-main." And then went into that match, Dory proceeded to beat my ass for 15 minutes, and I guess he liked what I did and invited me out to the school, and I trained there for about a year and a half or so, and then helped train some of his guys too. But Chris's school was cool because we had free reigns to try whatever we wanted to. We weren't really inhibited. We weren't told, okay, don't do this and don't do that. And while Chris was a good trainer, he lacked some of the experience that, say, Doy did, and I didn't get as much from Chris as I did from Doy, though I'm grateful to both for breaking me in.
Right.
I was just going to ask, how did you and Corey Chavis come together as a tag team?
Well, me and Corey actually met each other at Dory's school, and we just kind of hit it off, and we were always cool after that. And Corey moved back to Florida and was getting ready to come back to FIP, and we were doing Pro Wrestling Riot. And we did a show, and we were approached by Sal, and the promoter of FIP, and he asked, he's like, "Hey, we're thinking about teaming you guys up. Do you have matching gear?" And we were both, you know, in our gear with T-shirt and shorts on over it. And he pulled his shirt up, and I pulled my side of my shorts down, and we were both wearing blue. And we were like, "Yeah." I said, "Okay, well, we're going to start teaming you guys up." And Dark City Fight Club was born. Like, it was a legitimate, like, we called each other. It was probably a 8-second conversation about the team name. Like, we were both on the same page, and then the rest is history.
Now, who were some people that, like, I mean, obviously anybody in wrestling knows that they don't want to be the next somebody else. You know, they always want to be the first them. But everybody kind of models themselves after, you know, a handful of people. Like, who are some people that are influences to you, or people that kind of molded who you are, or things that you take different things from throughout wrestling? Like, if you had a top five, who would your top five be that you kind of mold yourself after?
Bret Hart, Arn Anderson, Buzz Sawyer, Ricky Steamboat. I don't know who the fifth one would be.
Earthquake.
Definitely. Definitely not Earthquake.
Dick.
Yeah, I don't know who the fifth one would be. Like, with me, like, a lot of people don't know this, but I started as a cruiserweight. When I broke into the business, I was only 185 pounds.
Wow.
And so when I first started, like, I was doing, like, matrix spots, like, out of covers, and I was doing shooting stars, like, off the ground, like, not off top rope, but just a running shooting star, split leg moonsaults, all kinds of crazy dives. So, like, as I started putting on size, because in my opinion, like, if you're 6 feet tall and you're cruiserweight, then you should probably just throw on a referee shirt. Unless
yeah.
you're really, really good. There are a few exceptions. You know, you got guys like Jigsaw and you got guys like Quack that are considered junior heavyweights, but, you know, they're in a class by themselves. But, you know, as I put size on, like, I had to retrain myself to work a certain way. And then, you know, once I got to around the 215 to 220 range, I had to learn how to, you know, be, like, in between. And then as I got heavier to the 240 to 270 range, like, I had to learn how to work as Joey Machete dubbed it, a bruiserweight style. And
right.
That's just
now,
one of those things where it's like, go ahead.
I was going to say, for those who are interested in searching the wide annals of the Internet, there's an old, old match with a slightly smaller John Davis and a much smaller Danny Only. And it's weird because I see that match, and, like, you were big then, and, you know, you put on, what, probably 40 pounds since then, and not in a bad way. I mean, you've gotten to where you're freaking huge. And the thing that impresses me about you that always has is the fact that you're this really big guy, but the way I've seen you move in the ring is, you know, you're really, really quick for your size. You know, you don't lumber around the ring, and that's something that's always impressed me about you.
Well, I mean, I appreciate it. And, you know, the thing is, as a big guy, people expect, okay, I'm going to punch you in the face, and then I'm going to kick you in the face, then I'm going to punch
right.
you in the stomach, and then I'm going to body slam you. And why do you have to be that way? Like, at the end of the day, pro wrestlers are athletes, and we have a hard enough time being discounted by everybody for what we do in our history, and everybody's like, oh, you know, it's not that hard, and da-da-da-da, and why not? Like, a lot of people go in with the notion, like, you know what, okay, this is all, you know, this is fake or whatever it is, and they look for something to make you believe, like, that quick second to where they believe what you're doing, and I go into a match looking at, okay, well, you're going to have to try to find somewhere that's going to make you not believe what I'm doing. Like, I personally feel like when you go into a match, like, there should be no doubt that something is happening. Like, people are, you know, every move, anything that you do, if you pop somebody with a forearm or you club somebody or whatever it is, there should be noise. I'm not a big fan of stomping when I hit people or anything like that. Like, people need to feel what's going on. And that's one of the problems, I don't want to get on a tangent, but one of the problems in the business today is just, like, you know, there's too many guys that have been trained by Nintendo 64. You know,
yeah.
They go on and they look at all these moves and they're like, okay, well, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to call this this. If you've been in the business for 2 years and, you know, you can name your own finisher, then chances are you don't know what you're talking about. You know, and it's just, there's a, you know, Loki showed up in Evolve and he showed up in Dragon Gate, and one of his things that he said that caught my attention, he's like, I'm going to take my profession back. And it stuck with me because, you know, anybody that knows me and Corey knows that we're somewhat of a throwback as far as who we are as wrestlers. And there's a lot of guys in the ring, and I'm not going to call any names or anything like that, but there's a lot of guys who get into the ring and call themselves pro wrestlers that were not deserving of the title, that are not deserving of the title of pro wrestler. There's a lot of guys who want to play pro wrestlers and guys that, you know, okay, I'm good with the weekends and being a champion of my local indie, and, you know, or something like that. Or maybe if I suck, I'm going to run my own promotion, I'm going to be the champion there. That's got to stop. People, real wrestlers, if any real wrestlers are listening, please do yourself a favor, do everybody a favor. Stand up for what you believe in. Because there's too many guys that will shake somebody's hand after having a horrible match and tell them that they did good, and that person goes on to have more horrible matches and maybe hurt people and maybe be a detriment to our business as opposed to doing what needs to be happening and making people believe it. So many people switch to UFC because they're like, oh, these guys are real and da-da-da-da. That's what pro wrestling was. People need to understand that. We need to make the people understand that. And if you can't handle it, get out of the ring. the way I look at it. Sorry for rambling, but.
No, I actually, that's one of the reasons that I wanted you on, is because I was hoping that you would kind of go on that little rant. You know, some of the guests that I've got lined up, hopefully will do the same. I had Shot Murphy on here talking about the same. I'm hoping to get Bruce Santee on here to talk about the same. You know, that's something that I wanted to do when I started doing, you know, helping co-host this show, is just to get wrestlers on here to talk about the bullshit that is going on. You know, you look at guys like you and Sean, if he ever decides to come back, and then, you know, Corey, you look at guys like Bruce, and, you know, these are people who people believe. You know, when you guys get in the ring, nobody doubts that you could go into the front row and beat the hell out of everybody in that crowd. You know, people see Bruce, and nobody doubts that he could kick their ass, you know, so it's things like that. And I'm not even saying that somebody has to be a monster like that to be believable, because, you know, there's guys, you know, Slim J up here, the kid's freaking 5'8", 145, 150 pounds, but he has this, you know, persona and this, you know, the way he moves and the way he goes about things, people are like, man, that kid's a freaking scrapper. So I agree with that, and I welcome those tangents when people say exactly what needs to happen is, you know, a lot of the crap that's flooded wrestling now has got to go. It's got to get out.
You know, it's funny you mentioned Sean and Bruce, because those are two of the guys that, like, have done a lot as far. Like, Bruce is one of the guys that was instrumental in getting me into the Florida wrestling scene. And him, I mean, if anybody who remembers when I first broke into Florida, was the first 2 years was me, Bruce Santee, and Voidel Walker, either in three-ways or one-on-ones. There's some version of that formula in every show we worked.
Yep.
And I've never, I mean, I don't think I've taken a two-year beating like that before. Like, it was a rough 2 years, but I learned so much from those guys, and I'm so grateful for it. When me and Corey broke into the tag team, my first team that we feuded with was Black Market, Joey Machete, who's now the Sheik, and Sean Murphy. And I can't think of two tougher guys active right now that could have done any more justice to what we were trying to do, because we knew what we had to do and we knew what was to be expected. And I honestly can't put those guys over enough for what they did. Sean told me he was going to retire, and the first thing I did was tell him I wanted his boots.
Are there ones you wear?
Say what now? The little ones?
All the ones you wear?
Yeah. And when I first got them, I didn't get them refinished right away, so I wore kick pads. So I went and got them refinished, got everything changed, and, like, you know, got them, you know, fixed up or whatever, and so I don't wear kick pads anymore in tribute to Sean, because he's a throwback and he's the kind of wrestler that people need to see. And for some reason or other, he gets tired of the business. And I think it's partially because of what's going on in it now. There's not enough stand-up guys. And, you know, it surprises a lot of people, but Francisco Chiazzo, you know, a lot of people like, oh, well, he's old school and this and that, but that guy, he cares a lot about the business too, and he's getting to the point now to where if he's in the ring with a young guy, that young guy's going to know that he's in the ring with Frankie, because he's a vet, and he's going to make this person show him that they want to be in the business, much as he did with me. Frankie's done a lot as far as helping me with my promos and things of that nature. But, you know, as far as believable signs, you got, like, Craig Classic, super underrated still, and I don't understand how. You know, he's one of those guys that'll go in and whatever you want to throw at him, throw at him. Like, we worked each other for Chris Carson, SCW, 4 or 5 years ago. And, you know, he was real small when he first started, and he hit me with a forearm. You know, I was like, did he really shoot me? But that's how he was working. He wanted to lay it in, and he wanted to make it believable. And you have to hit me pretty hard for me to think and maybe try to figure out if you're actually shooting. And, you know, same thing with the Sheik. You know, you're talking about guys that aren't huge. Sheik's not a big guy. I mean, he used to be huge, but now he's toned down a little, he's a little bit leaner. But in the ring, like, I watched him in Florida. He was in the stands, and the crowd was behind him, and he turned around, and I kid you not, 90% of that crowd ran in the opposite direction.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of those.
Yeah, and that's what wrestling needs to be. They're just like, the tough guys are disappearing. There's too many guys that grew up playing video games or reading comic books that decided they want to be wrestlers. And not that there's anything wrong with video games or comic books, because I have a lot of both. But at the same time, be able to hold your own if it ever comes down to it. Like, if I don't believe that if we're in a fight together that you'll be there at the end of the fight, then chances are you shouldn't be there.
Right.
Cool. Well, I'm definitely noticing a pattern in the opinions of people that Danny gets to call in. Not complaining, though. I think these are all things that need to be said for sure, and well, I'm actually glad that this is a forum for it sometimes.
You know, when you think about it, there's a lot of different styles of wrestling. You know, you've got the lucha, and you've got the guys that, you know, that are flippy, and there's nothing wrong with that, but still, you should... There's got to be some level of, you know, believability. It can't be a 45-minute high spot. And there's some guys who will work with that style that you just can't believe what you're seeing. Example, Rich Swann, Ricochet, Pac, guys like that. Pac flips sometimes, and I can't even figure out why he's flipping. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever seen his little corner reversal where he does a, like, he grabs the top and flips frontward, like, in the air to duck a clothesline.
Who are we talking about?
Yeah.
Pac. He does a front flip out of the corner to duck a clothesline, and it's so fast, like you could run in full speed and swing as hard as you can, and you won't touch him. And so there's guys like that who make more sense, but there's too many guys that and I know Danny's seen this 1,000 times. They walk to the ring like, oh, that's AJ Styles, that's CM Punk, that's this guy, and you can tell who they're trying to be.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. You know, you're talking about people like Ricochet and Rich Swann and, you know, Pac. And the thing is, for every Pac, there's 15 Scott Evers or whatever the hell who, you know, bought his freaking gear at Walmart and Hot Topic. And he's like, oh, well, I saw Pac did one move, so I'm going to do it in this match. And doesn't do it in any place that makes any sense. And I mean, I'm not going to lie. I saw a match with Pac, and I think it was Ricochet. And I wasn't happy with it. It was amazing to watch, but to me it looked like too much of a dance. But then again, I've seen Pac in the ring with somebody doing almost the same stuff that just came off like, oh my god, that was a great reversal of that move, not a planned spot that this is what's coming next. And it's hit or miss with that. But, you know, there's, like you said, there's guys that come to the ring with a freaking, you know, sometimes they get tights, but then they, you know, they got their kick pads and their kick pad sleeves and their T-shirt and their hoodie with the big hood that covers their face. And, you know, they go up on the rope and do their AJ Styles pose. And it's just like, dude, come on. It's stop. Please stop.
Yeah. You know, and I was one of the, like, I got to thinking, and, you know, and me and Loki had a long talk in Los Angeles a few months back. And we got to talking about, you know, the sport of pro wrestling and how that's, if you kind of see it starting to come back. Like, Punk and Brian are helping do it in the Fed right now. And there's a couple guys here and there in the Indies, Loki, Bobby Fish. I don't want to put myself in that category, but, you know, me and Corey or Bruce, or, you know, guys like that. But, like, I started thinking about it, and I was like, you know, I'm not trying to be flashy anymore. You're not going to get a big, elaborate ring entrance from me. I don't do that. If I come out, you see me, you determine my mood, or you don't, and then I walk to the ring and I'll wait for my opponent. I'll stand on the buckles and I'll stare at you like you're insane for being in my ring for a couple seconds, and after that, I just hope for the best for you after the bell rings. And there needs to be more guys like that. When you look back at the glory days of wrestling, like, you had your tough guys who weren't super flashy, who you knew were ass beaters, you know, the Bruiser, the Crusher, even the Andersons, and highly successful tag team. And Arn did a gourd buster. I think that was the fanciest move.
Yeah, man, that was it.
And, you know, and you know, everything else was like high impact, put you to bed kind of moves. And there needs to be more of that. Back in the day, there were a lot of tough guys. It was harder for a really tough guy to stand out. But now there's not a lot of tough guys, and I'm not saying everybody needs to be a badass. If you're 125 pounds, then please stick to moonsaults and stuff like that. But be able to hold your own if it comes down to it. And I mean, I guess that's really all I'm saying. Like, for every wrestler listening, let's take it back. Let's make it what it was. There's no reason it can't be that way. Everybody talks about, oh well, I wish that it would be like it used to be. And I'm so tired of vets coming in and being like, oh, you know, it was like this in the 80s or like this in the 90s. Or, kid, if you were back in the 80s, you'd be a millionaire. Why? Why can't we be?
The reason why we can't be is because there's too many guys pretending. Not enough guys are. And I think that's the issue.
All right. Well, when are we going to see you back in Georgia to help illustrate these things in the rings here?
There's a possibility of getting Dark City up here soon. I'm just saying.
Yeah, we're definitely just if all we gotta do is get the call. I'll be in Albany this weekend actually, and I just forgot the initials of the company.
Who are you wrestling in Albany?
I'm working for Jake.
Jake Slater?
Yeah.
Do you know who you're wrestling?
No. No, off the top of my head, I can't remember his name.
I'm gonna find out. Make a message.
I know it's a young guy. He told me, and I can't remember his name. But it's one of those things. But see, you know, like Jake Slater is another guy. Like Jake is really, really good, and people like. He's one of those guys to where if he had a little bit more of a temper on him, like, everybody would be afraid of him. Just because of what he can withstand and the stuff that he's done. And I don't think Jake gets enough credit for what he's done and contributed. But when you look at it, that guy's put in a body of work. He's been around for a long time.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find the name of the promotion.
It's like, SCSW or something like that, or...
It's Southern Georgia Championship Wrestling?
Maybe.
That's what I'm finding when I search for Albany, Georgia Pro Wrestling.
Is that the same place you were taking that last month or the month before?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll talk, I've heard good things, and yeah, let me, Jake's a guy too who's, you know, I think a lot of people have talked, and they said he's probably one of the best heels in Georgia, and that's definitely true now because, like, the hate junkies are baby faces almost everywhere, which is really weird. But Jake's definitely, like, I mean, he's one of the best heels in the state. You know, he's got these facials that, you know, he looks like, you know, somebody who you'd, you know, buy meth from at a trailer park, you know, and he's such a grease ball in the ring that people hate him, and he's so good at what he does, man. And he's got a huge chip on his shoulder, too. I know from experience. We both did.
It's funny you say that because I was about to say, he looks like somebody's uncle that you would buy dope from somewhere.
Yeah, he's some cool uncle that bought you beer when you were, like, 19.
Yeah, it looks like it's South Georgia. Is it the show with Buff Bagwell?
Yes.
Okay,
oh,
so, yeah, that's this Saturday. South Georgia Championship Wrestling. So, do you have any other shows coming up in Georgia?
Not really. The funny thing is my phone really doesn't ring that much. Like, I don't get... It was weird because, like, when I was... Before I did anything with Ring of Honor or Dragon Gate or anything, like, I was pretty regular as far as bookings and things like that go. I mean, it's not like I'm dying for them now, but, you know... I like to go and be in a ring anywhere I can. And for some reason, I don't know, it's like once we did the Dragon Gate and, you know, got the NWA belts and I've been doing the you know, we did the Ring of Honor stuff, like, you know, like in Florida, I'm not a Florida guy anymore. Like, people don't consider me a Florida guy, which is weird. And, you know, we just don't get along. A lot of calls as far as me and Corey goes, and I don't know what it is with any promotions, but, I mean, it could be another one of those, okay, well, we got to protect our guys because John and Corey, or John or Corey, might come and expose them.
Yeah. Well, when are you guys, when's your next tag title defense for NWA?
Probably not till June. I don't know if you guys have heard, but Trovich is now out, and there's a new guy in.
Yeah, I just read that today.
Yeah, so things are going to, we're not sure what's going to change, or if anything's going to be implemented, or if there's going to be any kind of mandatory change that's going to be here, and here, or what, so we're not sure. I'm hoping, fingers crossed, for the best, because it'd be a huge shame to let the NWA go any farther down.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say there's been talks about having Dark City do a circuit, sort of like what Adam Pearce did when he came through Georgia about a month and a half. trying to get Dark City through a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday deal. So hopefully that works out. Hopefully the Hate Junkies are at least one of those teams, because it's always fun to get in there and fight you guys.
I agree. I definitely agree. And you made another – you said something earlier, Daniel, about heels and baby faces. And, you know, some people have it naturally. And I know you – I mean, I'm pretty sure you've seen some of my work recently. And I don't play the side anymore.
Right.
And that's another thing. Why can't we just start trying to win matches?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you don't have to go out there and shake babies and kiss hands. You know, you can just – be legit. And,
well, if you want to be a heel, you can shake babies really hard.
I personally like to kick babies on the way to the ring. All right, well, I don't know if John's trying to move on, but in case he is, JD, I appreciate you calling in, man, and keep in touch. Hopefully we'll see you up here soon.
All right, guys, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, and let us know when you are coming back. Maybe we can talk to you and Corey sometime in the near future.
And not a problem at all. I'll let Corey know.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right, guys. Later.
Yep. And we have another, our other guest tonight was kind of spur of the moment, but it's another local guy that was in Florida for Dragon Gate tryout, and he ended up working security for Ring of Honor, and that is Matt Six Cells. But we'll bring him online after a quick commercial break.
Duty. Georgia wrestling fans, you're going to want to make your plans to be at Johnny G's the first, third, and fifth Sunday of every month, 2 p.m. bell time, for Rampage Pro Wrestling television taping. And fans, if you're in Middle Georgia, make sure that you watch Rampage Pro Wrestling on Fox 24, Saturday 9 a.m. on the My 41.2, Saturday at 10 p.m. Cox Communications Cable, Thursday 8, Saturday at noon, and of course, Rampage Rewind, the one-half-hour show on Cox Communications throughout the schedule. Fans, be there.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Ray Gunkel or Gordon Soley? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? That happened in Columbus on my birthday. Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
This is Miss Rachel from The Empire, formerly known as Platinum Champions of Wrestling. Every Friday night, The Empire presents the best in professional wrestling
at the Academy Theater in Avondale State.
We're also at the Masquerade every month or so.
Check us out on Facebook. Just look for Platinum Champions of Wrestling.
And you'll get the latest details on all the hottest action from The Empire,
formerly known as Platinum Champions of Wrestling.
We get it. That's every Friday night at the Academy Theater and at the Masquerade as well every month. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to Georgia Wrestling Now. You are listening to me, Jonathan Williams of WrestlingWithPopCulture.com, the human hand grenade Danny Only, and Team All You Can Eat's Matt Hankins. And now we're being joined by Matt Six Cells. I'm gonna attempt to do something that's never been done before. I'm gonna tweet on the air without using Twitter, and I'm gonna say hashtag duty to Matt Six Cells.
Well, hashtag duty to you as well.
Duty,
hashtag
duty.
I'm all out of knee pads. God, I have to wash knee pads.
So did your knee pads cause you to hurt your knee, or were you, did you forget to wear them?
No, I was wearing knee pads. It's just one of those freak things of when you plant and your foot goes one way and the rest of your body goes the other, and you get that nice pleasant popping noise and try to finish the match and finish it on one foot. So, but no, I'm not old school. I definitely use the knee pads. I'm currently hurt. It's undiagnosed what it is right now, because I wanted to finish the rest of my South Florida trip. It's swollen, and I can put weight on it, though. So I'm hoping it's just a couple weeks out of the ring, and I'll be good to go.
Yeah.
So I guess we should back up a little bit and explain how you hurt your knee. But first, I think I saw you last Wednesday at the Masquerade for that Monstrosity Championship Wrestling show. What did you think of that? Did you see that first match between the Alabama Werewolf and the Gay Vampire?
I for one love the Alabama Werewolf. He has to be one of my new favorite wrestlers to make his debut at Monstrosity Championship Wrestling last week. I thought it was an instant classic of a wrestling match. Especially enjoyed his pre-match promo.
So then,
a total racist, I want to point out, he is a total racist. I went through the trouble of making Alabama Wolfman shirt, and I won't repeat what I was called, but I was.
Unfortunately, Wolfmen from that part of Alabama sometimes act that way. So it's unfortunate that he has that view on other races.
However, you know, I'm used to that in Alabama, so I still rode the Wolfman all the way.
So you were at that show, but then I saw you in Florida as well. And was your Dragon Gate tryout, was that Friday or Thursday?
I did the Dragon Gate tryout Friday afternoon.
Okay. So were you involved in any shows on Thursday?
I was not. Thursday was my travel day to get down to Florida and prepare for the weekend.
Okay. So you tried out. What was the you were trying to be on the opening match, or was it the dark match for the?
The guys that they picked had a dark match. The two guys they went with from the tryout were involved in a dark match before the internet pay per view.
Okay, and what happened? who were you? I know you had a tryout match against. Who was the other guy?
Honestly, I don't remember the other guy's name. I guess that's how over he is with me. I was just another guy trying out as well with the same hopes that I have of being able to participate in the dark match and hopefully go further with Dragon Gate.
All right. So you pretty early on in the match, you twisted your knee.
We did the little camp and went over kind of the Dragon Gate style and more of their lucha Japanese hybrid style, and then they did the tryout matches. About 30 seconds into the match, just one of those weird freak occurrences where something simple, I believe, just backed the guy in the corner, threw a punch, and as I planted my foot for throwing the punch, my toe caught in the mat that I guess was a little loose. And as I rotated, felt the pop in my knee and kind of went down for a second, and the ref checked on me, and I got back up and attempted to finish the match and did finish the match despite the knee injury on one foot. So.
All right. So obviously you finished it. You were not successful, but it's commendable that you did finish the match at least. It would have been duty of you to not do that.
Well, I think it was duty that, you know, of all the times I could have hurt my knee, that, you know, has to happen WrestleMania weekend in front of a large promotion tryout. So that's all the times you can injure yourself. Why then, you know?
Yeah, well, so the next day you got to work security at the Ring of Honor show, right? Or was that 2 days later?
That was the next day, yes. That was for the Saturday afternoon, the day two of ROH's Showdown in the Sun. I got to do, like you said, work security, and got involved in the street fight between the Young Bucks and the All Night Express.
Okay, so I ran into you Saturday after the WWE Hall of Fame and you told me a little bit about what happened, but I understand Kenny King knocked you down somehow, and
that
hopefully...
is correct. Luckily, it couldn't have worked out better, the spot with Kenny King and the Bucks. I was seated in a chair ringside doing security. Got pinned against the rail by one of the Bucks, and when Kenny King came with a running knee towards him, he moved out of the way and connected with the security guard, myself, that was unfortunate enough to be in that position.
Should have moved, dummy.
Sorry?
I said you should have moved, dummy.
I should have moved.
He hurt his knee. He's not as
yeah, I'm not agile. Well, I think Danny knows that I'm not the most agile person to begin with.
What does that have to do with it? You said you were sitting down.
Yes. That's right there, yeah. Right, how much lazier can you get? That's the best security spot in the world as you're seated in the corner by the barricade. If it had not been a Ring of Honor show, I wouldn't have moved at all, because the only time I had to move was to get the streamers out of the ring. So.
Oh, well, that's good. Hopefully we'll have Kenny King on the show in a couple weeks, so you can call and bitch at him for kicking you in the face.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, he took my head off and thought nothing about it. Just went on with the match. So.
Yeah, Kenny King's a heartless bastard.
Well, that's how you got to be sometimes.
In the heat of battle, there are always, you know, unnecessary casualties.
Well,
Danny,
I hope you have a flashlight.
Danny, Matt, did either of you guys see the Ring of Honor shows, either of the iPay-per-views?
Man,
I haven't yet.
I didn't even watch WrestleMania, if that tells you. I don't know. This isn't the snobby wrestler who doesn't watch wrestling because it's a stupid thing. It's just, honestly, I don't have time. Like, I had a wedding Sunday, and I had to work Saturday and wrestle, and I haven't had time. I hope that they were awesome, and I hope that everybody enjoyed everything, but no, I didn't watch it. I didn't even watch Raw last night. I'm such a loser.
I wasn't trying to call you out. I was just going to ask if anyone saw it.
You haven't seen the four or five most recent wrestling shows. I'm calling you out. Not only may I be calling you out, but I'm calling you out, Danny.
For what?
I'm calling you out for being on a podcast this evening and not having seen any wrestling in the past week.
I also worked... three weeks worth of work in 2 weeks, so you can kiss my ass.
And
you feel like assholes, Danny.
And you also had your own wrestling matches over the weekend, didn't you, Danny?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, I wrestled more times over the past 3 weeks than most indie wrestlers do in 6 months, one of which included a pinfall over David Richards. Who have you ever beat?
I beat Danny only.
Shit.
Oh.
So by proxy, that means I've beat Davey Richards and anybody else you've beaten.
Hey, I'll make sure that Davey
Richards. Did Davey Richards realize that there's a security guard at his show that by politics has technically beaten him?
Davey realized it was me. I don't think he went that far with the 6 degrees of separation. But if he had, I might have eaten a kick. But.
Well, the reason I asked if you guys saw the iPay-per-view is I was wondering if Matt's name came up on the show or anything like that. I mean, I'm sure it was people saw it, but you know, I was wondering if the announcers even knew who he was and maybe said his name. And he got Matt Sells got hashtagged and is trending now on Ring of Honor's iPay-per-view.
I'd rather be hashtag duty. I would rather duty be trending than my name. So,
that's kind of the same. It's kind of the same thing as you beating Davey Richards. If duty trends, then that's you're trending basically.
That's very true.
And I didn't mean it like. Never mind.
That I'm duty. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean that's hard work that you and I have been doing on Twitter. So I will be honored if it ever catches on.
I just enjoyed searching for other hashtag duty tweets on Saturday night.
This is what we did after the Hall of Fame ceremony. We walked over to Hooters, where this is a little tangent. No, it's not really, because you guys were kind of making fun of Heath Slater, because Heath Slater came in and Derek Bateman, and who else was sitting with them?
We had, for the longest time, I couldn't remember what Derek Bateman's name was.
Yeah, I had to Google it. But he was a funny guy when that Nickelback song came on.
Tis true.
The other one was Michael McGillicuddy, right?
Yes. And they were
sitting kind of diagonally across from us, and you worked shows with Heath Slater before he was in WWE and stuff, so it was just funny to see them right across. And then Mark Henry walked by outside.
Mark Henry walked by, Skip Sheffield walked by, yeah. So.
Oh, yeah,
it was Skip Sheffield. Very happening place, yeah.
Well, we were right down the street from the arena and from the hotel where they were all staying.
Right.
And it was Saturday night in Miami. So anyway, we spent our Saturday night at Hooters looking up who else had hashtag duty on Twitter.
Were there any other ones, or was it just the three of us?
Yes, no, there were other people that had hashtag duty. There were some fairly inappropriate tweets that had hashtag duty in them.
Imagine that.
Possible.
I like to keep my hashtag duty tweets very classy, and these people unfortunately did not.
Well, I wonder if there were any Alaska Pipeline or Alabama Hot Pocket hashtag duties.
We didn't see any of those, but, you know, you can always make that happen.
Got a feeling that's what I'm going to do when I get off the phone. See, if Verizon had a better network, I could do it now, but I can't go on the Internet while I'm on the phone.
Oh, boo.
I can't even look at this picture from I Like Girls Daily.
I like duty daily, so I'll tag that as well.
I don't know if I want to see those pictures.
I know that I don't.
Well,
fellas, I'm going to go ahead and sign off. I only get paid for an hour, so.
You get paid?
Wait a minute.
But
is it, like most shows that you work? Do you get paid in hot dogs? Is that?
No, but you know what's funny is we sat down one day and we made a direct correlation between the quality of the food at a show and the presence of guardrails. Usually if there are guardrails, there is much better food. It's always that way. Which is weird. You would think it'd be the opposite way. Like if they had guardrails, they don't have a lot of money for food. But no, that's not it. If you go to a show that has guardrails, more than likely you're getting pizza. But if you go to a show that's got wood stakes with rope, then you're probably just getting fucking Cheetos.
Before you go,
Danny, I wanted to talk about the shows that I missed that happened here over the weekend. I know you did the Big Anarchy show, and I don't know if you were at Academy Theater on Friday as well, but before you go, would you mind?
No, not at all. I was at the Academy Theater, and I extracted a measure of revenge against Dynamite Soul, Eric Walker, for cracking me in the head with a kendo stick last week and costing me the Platinum Classic. I lariated his face into the front row. That was pretty awesome. And then the very next day, Strychnine and myself, we came out to make the save on Todd Sexton because, you know, he's never been the best of our friend, but he's never been the worst of our enemy. And he was getting jumped by Andrew Pendleton III and the Texas Tornadoes. So we came out and made the save, cleaned house, and the three of us were successful. And it was the start to what ended up being a tremendously stellar hardcore hell. For those who did not see it or for those who did not read the results, go online and look for them. There was a reappearance by former owner Jerry Palmer, who everyone was very disappointed in by the end of the night, and seemed to set the groundwork for what's probably going to be the very probably the most interesting thing in Georgia indie wrestling history. So I hope people pay attention to it because I got a feeling the next few months are going to be something really, really special. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a Georgia indie wrestler. I'm not just saying that because I'm in Anarchy.
But if things seem to be going the way they seem to be going, then it's going to be pretty interesting. So everybody should tag along and see what's going on.
They could hashtag along with duty as well.
Yes.
Well, I wanted to find out about that Iron Man match I heard about between John Williams and Shane Marks on Friday. Were you still there for that?
Yeah. John and Shane went 60 minutes, and it was awesome.
A real live 60 minutes, not a pretend one, but a full-on 60 minutes. And it was something to behold. The match never dragged. You know, everything that was done for a reason. You know, there was no wasted motion as you would hope in a 60-minute match. It was something to behold to see John come from, you know, a guy who's primarily a tag team guy, and to stand in there hold for hold with Shane Marks was something. But that being said, Shane Marks is equally as impressive, as he always is, as much as it begrudges me to say. But it was something else.
Yeah, man, before I bounce, I definitely want to say that, and this is something that I've talked to a lot of people about. Shane Marks is deceptively good, because my first opinion when I saw him was, whatever. But then when I saw him in the ring, I honestly believe that there's no one in the U.S. or the world that you put him in the ring with that he can't hold his own. I've seen him work guys much bigger than him. I've seen him work guys much smaller than him. I've seen him work guys the same size as him. And he's able to adapt his style to hang with whoever he's in there with. There's no wasted motion. There's no bullshit. It is very, very good wrestling. And he is, in my opinion, the most underrated wrestler in the state of Georgia. Without a doubt. No, I won't hesitate. When anybody said who's the most underrated, it's definitely Shane Marks, because freaking guy is a beast. And he's got good stuff coming up for him. You know, he's going to be going on a trip here in the next month or so that's going to get him a lot more exposure than he's had. And hopefully, you know, people can start to catch on and see how actually good he is. And maybe we can do the same thing that John was talking about and just get more and more people believing in this. And Shane's a guy that can help do that. So, but anyway,
right.
I'm going to get out here. It's late, and I have to go to work in the morning. So, and I'm old.
Okay. Well, thanks, Danny. We will talk to you next Monday. We're back at our regular time slot. Mondays at 8.
All right. See you guys.
Have
at
a good
one.
Absolutely. So, Matt Hankins, that is. Shane Marks retained his Empire title, right? It was a time limit draw?
Time limit draw, yes. Much to our dismay. We saw a ref go down, which, you know, rarely happens in Empire PCW, but that did not turn into anything. No, there was no outside antics. Everything was on the up and up. Everything was clean. It was truly something to behold. We saw, I guess, not just the second time, we saw John do that that top rope pedigree, I guess, that Punk had used as the Pepsi plunge when he was using it. He landed that. Mark still got out of it. Shane used the Texas Cloverleaf a couple times, something I hadn't seen him do much. Saw a lot of holds come out that I have not seen them do. Just a solid match. There was wrestling, there was brawling, there was some flying around. It had a little bit of everything, and it was a special night again.
Yeah, I'm just upset that all this good wrestling, all these good wrestling shows went down in Georgia the one weekend that half of the wrestling population was somewhere else.
Somewhere else.
I hate
yeah.
as a fan of the sport, I hate that I missed a 60-minute time limit draw.
Yeah, I was seeing this on Facebook and Twitter, and as well as stuff about what happened at Anarchy, and I was just kind of like, you know, I was torn. I'm at WrestleMania events, and there's all this other Ring of Honor, Dragon Gate stuff going on. So there's plenty of good wrestling going on around where I am. But then I'm like, well, if I'd stayed home, I'd have seen just as much good wrestling.
Yep.
But I'm not saying I regret anything.
Oh, God, no.
Matt Hankins. weekends, did you go to the Anarchy show or any other shows over the weekend?
I did not. I was sort of spent after Friday night, and I did not make it to Anarchy as much as I wanted to. So I was kind of, at that point, I went into preparation mode. I had to host the Team All You Can Eat WrestleMania soiree, so you can imagine what kind of preparation would go into something like that.
You know, I would imagine a lot of
there's
dips.
Furniture to reinforce.
Oh yeah.
I feel like that ought to be like a Food Network show where it shows Team All You Eat, All You Can Eat preparing their food for
there's
WrestleMania
cattle
party.
To slaughter. You know, there's you know, flocks and flocks of chickens to wrangle. So no, I have a lot of work to go on that weekend.
Well, I hope it. Did you run out of food? Because that's the only way you could call it a success, I think.
Nobody. There was no riot. We all lasted to the end. Nobody fell into a diabetic coma before the end. So, you know, in my book, where I'm from, we call that a success.
So I think we kind of got sidetracked about Matt Sells' time in Florida because we had to get Danny's stuff in real quick before he was leaving. But where were we, Matt?
We were talking about me taking the knee to the head on the iPay-per-view Saturday afternoon for Ring of Honor, and I think that's kind of where we ended up.
We were talking about Hooters, I think, right?
Yeah. We got the Hooters. Yeah, we made it all the way to Saturday night.
Well, that was it, right? You didn't wrestle or participate in any other shows over the weekend. You just spent the rest of the time on the beach.
You missed my WrestleMania dark match. That was it as far as my active wrestling weekend. The rest of it, yeah, kind of enjoying a nice little vacation. Which I guess if I didn't give a shout out to my wife that you hear doing the commercial for Georgia Wrestling History when y'all go to break, I'd get in a lot of trouble if I didn't say that. Yeah, this is kind of our delayed honeymoon. So after I got done with the two shows Friday and Saturday, I just kind of enjoyed some beach time and enjoyed the WrestleMania event.
Wait, that's her? That's your wife
That is Jen. Yeah, that does the even for this show for Georgia Wrestling Now. That's her.
Well, that is some duty. I never knew
that.
That's her. That's, well, you tell her I appreciate her. I appreciate her doing her duty and doing the intro and the commercial break and all that, the outro. And I'm sorry, I didn't realize she's been part of the show all this time.
Yes, yeah. It's I've seen her lay down the voiceover tracks and everything for it. And it's always weird if I call into a show because, you know, I hear her, and like tonight she was sitting right next to me and I could hear her voice. So it's kind of odd.
I think I had heard that, but in wrestling I never know exactly what I'm supposed to know. So
right.
I just keep things quiet.
Oh, well, for the longest time, when people heard that we'd gotten married, everybody thought it was a work, so I don't blame you.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, you made a joke about me missing your WrestleMania dark match, but you actually missed the WrestleMania dark match.
I missed the WrestleMania dark match, and then which in turn, because I wasn't there for the start of the event, missed the World Heavyweight Title match. So all 18 seconds of it.
Well, as I was saying earlier in the show, oddly enough, I think that is a good thing for Daniel Bryan because the people were clearly making their disdain known at Raw last night, as well as for most of the rest of WrestleMania. But
you hear Daniel Bryan over and over again. So time will tell how that works out. But yeah, I think I'm on your side with that one. That I think it will work in his favor.
Yeah, well, the dark match was actually a really good match, and it was the Usos, Primo, and Epico. And what was the third tag team?
Justin Gabriel and Tyson Kidd.
Right. And it was, I don't remember if the titles were on the line, but either way, it was a great match, and it looked to me like all those guys were going out to prove kind of what Daniel Bryan and Sheamus tried to prove last year with their dark match, and that is that they all belong on WrestleMania. I think the Usos are in line for a tag team title run for sure. And just the fact that they are a tag team that has the same name and looks the same and operates as a tag team, and Epico and Primo are kind of the same, I think, hopefully, that is a sign of good things to come in WWE for tag team wrestling. And the Usos also wrestled the next night in, I believe it was a Superstars match. And they got a huge reaction at Raw. And I guess we'll see that on Superstars. Another person that wrestled, I believe this was just a dark match, not a Superstars taping, but Dean Ambrose, better known on the indie scene as Jon Moxley, had a great match at the beginning of Raw last night. And I think he's got, you know, I think they're going to give him a good push, especially with what's going on with Daniel Bryan and CM Punk still being champ and all that. It seems like they're really giving the indie guys who didn't necessarily come up through their developmental system a good push and a good chance, and that's always a good thing to see, I think, especially for someone like you, Matt, who are trying to, you and Danny and many of the other people we talked to on the show, who are trying to get to that next level.
Absolutely, it's good now, like you said, to turn on WWE programming and see guys that, you know, that spent, you know, 10-15 years on the indie scene and honed their craft on the indies, and now they're getting pushes. Now they're your champions, and they're not guys that are 6'5", 250 pounds. They're guys that look quote normal, but they're excellent wrestlers, and that there seems to be more of a focus now again in WWE with wrestling. And the sport, and sort of like y'all were talking about earlier, the sport of wrestling is hopefully experiencing revival now. People are being conditioned now to where you can sit through 45 and 60-minute matches. No longer conditioned to, you know, the 5-minute main events. And you've got guys like Punk and Jericho and Daniel Bryan that can go and last that long and keep people entertained for that long. So it's definitely a lot of fun, like you said, as somebody who's a current indie wrestler, seeing guys succeed and hopefully opening the door years down the road for somebody like me to be able to get an opportunity like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're bringing back, you know, they got a few managers, and it seems like they may even have some stables, you know, like we both saw the Four Horsemen inducted on Saturday, and that was good to see, especially with their history in Georgia and everything. And it just seems like they're at least giving it a shot with some of this stuff, and they're listening to the fans, and even all the way down to, or all the way up to WWE Studios, you know, they've announced a whole slate of movies coming out in the next few months, and because of fan feedback, they're going to focus on action and sci-fi and horror movies, which is, for the most part, the same fan base as people who like wrestling.
Well,
so instead of doing
the re-release of No Holds Barred, I mean, come on,
I know.
Man, on DVD, that's I'm buying that day it comes out.
I really hope, since Hogan's obviously in TNA and probably won't be able to promote that, I hope they have Zeus. I'd love to see Zeus come back in some way. Not to wrestle necessarily, but even if he just does some interviews and stuff to promote that.
He's enjoying a decent little acting career now. I mean, you see him show up in movies every once in a while.
Yeah, he was in the Friday movies, and
I
haven't seen him.
He's in The Dark Knight.
What was he in The Dark Knight?
With the scene where they've got the bombs on each of the ships with one of the convicts.
Oh, that's right. I'd forgotten about that.
Yep. I wouldn't have remembered if I hadn't watched The Dark Knight like a week ago. So I have to be honest. It wasn't like I'm a huge Zeus mark. Oh, yeah, by the way, Zeus is in The Dark Knight.
Yeah, well, anyway, that was just...
I remember the full filmography. You know, everything Zeus does. I'm just, I have a Zeus memorabilia, everything, yeah.
Well, that was just, of course, you know, bringing that... That's the first time that movie's ever been available on DVD, which is kind of hard to believe. But, yeah, the release of that, as well as the focus on movies that wrestling fans want to see instead of stupid, not funny comedies and family movies and stuff like that. And I'm not saying some of those movies have been good. You and I talked about this the other day, Matt. Bending the Rules is not good, but you know, you said Legendary was good, which I haven't seen. I thought the one with Randy Orton and Ed Harris, That's What I Am, I thought that was pretty good. And some of the other ones I've seen, they're not completely offensive. I've definitely seen worse movies than what they're doing. But I'm just glad to hear that they're paying attention and they're listening and they're changing things because of what people say they want, instead of trying to tell their fans what they want, which is, you know, just a refreshing thing from WWE, I think.
Yeah,
but
I think I've never turned up across the whole spectrum.
Do what?
I think we both tried to talk at the same time.
Ready, go.
I've never turned Knucklehead off, and I never will. I'll watch it every time it's on.
See, I haven't seen it. I had my fill of WWE Studios comedies when I watched The Chaperone, and it was tedious to get through.
Yeah, I haven't seen either of those. But, you know, I've seen a handful of their movies, and like I said, they're not always terrible, but...
Well, thanks to them being on Netflix, that it's what gets me through cardio at the gym. I just stick on a WWE Studios film, and that's my inspiration, because, you know, I'm like, I got to do cardio because I want to make it far enough in the business that I get to star in my own WWE Studios movie. So the inspiration's right there in front of me.
Yeah. Well, how's your knee doing? You think it'll be back in the ring soon?
I'm hoping so. It feels better today than it did yesterday, and it felt better yesterday than it did when I hurt it. So I'm thinking that's progress, that if it was something really serious, that, of course, it wouldn't be feeling better. Still swollen, still limited in how I get around. I'm hobbling and limping around, unfortunately, right now. But if it's the same thing I've done to the other knee several times, it's just spraining some ligaments. And that's, you know, just a couple weeks off from the ring, and I'll be good to go. So fingers crossed, hoping for the best with that.
Will you be attending any shows, you know, just to observe?
Oh, no, absolutely. Well, as always, I'll be at Empire Wrestling / PCW each and every Friday night. In Avondale Estates at the Academy Theater, when same promotion Empire starts running the Porterville, Georgia shows, I'll be there as well. I believe
they're doing one this Saturday.
Saturday. Mm-hmm. That's correct. They're going to start running every first and third Saturday at that location.
And if I understand it correctly, that's more of PCW's new home, and Empire is still in control at Academy.
Yes, that's correct. And then I'm can show up anywhere and everywhere, depending on how the knee's feeling. I'm hoping in the next few weeks to be fine. But I'm got a show on April 21st. I'll be in Augusta, Georgia, for Augusta Wrestling Alliance, and then everywhere else I can possibly be. You'll never know where I'll turn up. So
cool. Well. Was there anything else that you wanted to mention in particular about your weekend in Florida and being at WrestleMania and Dragon Gate and all that stuff?
Just along the same lines of what we already talked about, just happy to see the revival of the sport of pro wrestling, to see matches at WrestleMania that went, you know, 30, 35 minutes and focused on wrestling. And then it gets to go see the two Ring of Honor shows and see what they're doing with the sport of wrestling and how they present it and how they've helped to condition the audience to be used to seeing the sport and seeing the long matches and seeing a competition in the ring rather than the quote sports entertainment that we've seen for the past 10, 15 years. So I was happy to see a wrestling-focused WrestleMania. You know, very, very dramatic matches and stuff that engulfed me into the stories and engulfed me into the matches, especially, you know, think Punk Jericho and the Hell in a Cell. Both of those were just that's wrestling at its finest. That's the sport right there.
Yeah, I mean, Rock Cena was a pretty good match too. I mean, better than pretty good. It was a good match, and I thought Kane and Orton. Not only was that a good match, but I was surprised by that outcome. You know, I like that Kane is getting an opportunity again, hopefully at least, and that Randy Orton, you know, he lost. It was a clean loss, kind of like what happened with him and Mark Henry a few months ago. You know, a lot of people are getting to move up in WWE, I don't want to say at the expense of Randy Orton, but, you know, he's one of their top stars, and so if someone beats him and it makes them look better, and, you know, I don't think Randy Orton's looks weak as a result of losing to Mark Henry or Kane or any of those kind of people.
No,
but,
and Orton's at that place now where, yeah, it's not going to hurt him to lose to somebody that he's still got that stature. He's still going to be over. He's still Randy Orton. You know, he's cemented his legacy and his spot in the WWE. So, yeah, the loss at Mania, I don't believe it hurt him at all, but it makes Kane. It helps build him back up.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's kind of interesting, too, because there's that aspect. They're bringing back Brock Lesnar and The Rock, and Kane is getting a bit of a push, and the end of an era thing is two older guys. But at the same time, like we've been saying, there's a lot of new guys coming up and a lot of new guys getting a push, and it's just, I think it's a good time. I just hope, you know, we'll see how the next few weeks play out as far as WWE goes, but I think they're starting to listen and pay attention, and that's good for, I think, all of wrestling.
Absolutely. Yeah, when the WWE does good business, it helps us out because the indies start doing good business because people start enjoying wrestling more and you see more of a turnout at the indie shows. And so when WWE enjoys success, so does everybody else in the sport of wrestling. So I'm always happy when they're drawing better. So.
Absolutely. So I guess we need to finish, wrap things up a little bit. But I did want to ask one other thing about the Empire show on Friday, Matt Hankins. Mm-hmm. Was there some kind of announcement about Shadow Jackson getting involved sometime soon? I think I saw something on Facebook about it.
As they're with the championship committee that they have now, they've kind of had the best Platinum Classic that has been held so far with the roster they put together for that. They're now going to try to attempt to have the best Platinum Royal that has ever been had with the contenders for the PCW belt, contenders for the Empire belt, and then sort of one wild card each, chosen one by Stephen Platinum, one by Jeff G. Bailey, and Platinum announced that his wild card would be spent on Shadow Jackson. And so you also, now we have to find out how Jeff G. Bailey will counter that move, so...
As a member of the Empire, I believe that Jeff G. Bailey, of course, will find a suitable person to stick in there for our wild card spot as well. Somebody at least on the level of Shadow Jackson.
I'm sure that the gob of spit on Stephen Platinum's face reminded him of that as well. Just nasty. Yeah. It
sounds like what was I doing Friday that I missed that?
You missed a good bit. You missed a good bit. A lot went on that night, and a lot of it got swallowed up after seeing that hour long match. It just kind of took it all out of you, and in a good way. You know, you realized you had seen everything you could possibly see from the show. So I need to go back and kind of revisit to see exactly what I saw it all, and some of it I feel like I missed.
Wait, was that wasn't the last? That wasn't the main event?
Yes, it was the main event, but just kind of after
you
left that.
Oh, you're saying in retrospect. Yeah.
In retrospect, that's all I think about is how great that thing was. So.
All right, cool. Well, I guess we've talked about as much as we can about the many.
I do have one other question for Matt Sales. And I've mentioned this probably 15 times on this show, and so now that I've got you here, I have to ask. But you were on the receiving end of one of the most vicious things I've ever had the pleasure of seeing live.
Oh, yeah.
When Supernatural gave you that double stomp from the turnbuckle to the outside on that wood floor at the Masquerade.
Yes. Yes.
I know it was bad, but was it extra bad?
It was not comfortable. That's one of those... When, you know, people have, you know, always have smart-ass stuff to say about wrestling, I would say, watch that and tell me how you work that spot. You know, I mean, there's really no way you can do that other than me tensing up and hoping for the best.
And that's my fault.
His feet landed right in my chest. And then what actually hurt worse than that was when he hit, his feet, you know, hit my chest, and then as he rolled, his knee rolled right across my throat.
Yeah,
which was kind of nice because it took the focus off my chest, which I'm sure would have hurt more. He rolled right across my throat. So I'm like, okay, it's a double whammy. Wonderful.
I knew we didn't see you for a couple weeks after that. So
I believe your return was when you jumped Jay Fury, wasn't it?
That's correct. I'm here to prove that I can hang with the best of them at Empire. I've known Jay Fury for a long time, going back to NWA Wildside. He's the best that PCW has to offer. So if I'm gonna jump somebody and if I'm gonna beat somebody, I'm gonna beat the absolute best. And I believe I made a statement to all of Empire, all of PCW when I jumped him just a few weeks ago.
I'd hate to know Jay Fury was stalking me and I had a bum wheel. So I'd take the good when you show back up.
I'm not stupid. I'll make sure that I'm at the right place at the right time. So.
All right. Well, let's see. What do we have coming up this weekend that we haven't already talked about? There was a show John Davis mentioned in Albany on Saturday. I know PCW is in Porterdale. I believe Anarchy is running again this Saturday. And I know...
ACW is in Carbon Hill, Alabama, which is a show that generally features a lot of the Empire Platinum Championship wrestlers over there. Well, that's Wicked Nemesis is a part of that show, so that's going on this Saturday as well.
Right. And then I know Deep Southern Championship Wrestling is on Saturday in Blue Ridge, and Al Snow is going to be part of that show. And they also have some kind of a country concert or something as well. So yet another big weekend for... Georgia Wrestling. So I guess we will wrap it up. I want to thank Matt for calling in and I guess sort of filling in for Danny towards the end here and for duty, pulling double duty.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. Yeah, pulling double duty. Make sure listeners follow me at MattSexSells on Twitter. And any of your tweets to me, of course, hashtag duty. Because I am on a crusade, of course, with wrestling with pop culture to ensure that hashtag duty is trending at some point on Twitter. So,
hashtag duty and tag us, and we'll follow you back.
Absolutely, that is correct. a follow for a duty, I know that'll work.
All right, so next week we return to Monday nights at 8. I do not yet know who our guests are because I have... just flew back into Atlanta today, and so we'll have someone good, I'm sure. If all else fails, we can always have Matt Sells call in and talk about duty.
I thought you were gonna have somebody good.
Wow, was that Danny? Who was that? So want to remind our listeners of the other Georgia Wrestling History Radio Network shows. There's Ringside Wrap on Wednesdays with Rich Tate, Les Thatcher, and Mike Sempervive, who I believe aired my interview with Eddie Edwards last week, but I was at the Masquerade and didn't get a chance to listen to it. But check the archive for that and see if that's on there. Thursdays at 8 is Peach State Pandemonium with Mike Norris, Jerry Oates, and Bobby Simmons. Fridays at midnight is Reverend Dan Wilson's Midnight Black Mass, and Sundays at 2 p.m. once a month is the OVW Overview with Larry Goodman, Trent Vendries, and Muhammad Ali Vaez. Until then, unless either of you has anything to add, we will end this show, and we'll be back next Monday.
That's all from me. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, now we're going to listen to Matt's wife play us out.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.